glad you're here today. We are in week three of our series that we're calling Life on Purpose. And in week one, we looked at purpose in our pain. I mean, all of us experience pain in life, right? In one way or another, we all experience pain. Last week, Jay talked about purpose in doubt. Those moments in life where we wonder, does God even exist? Or if God does exist, does God really care about what I'm going through? You have doubts about things in life. And what we're doing, like I said, we're coupling this sermon series with this movie called Ordinary Angels with Hilary Swank and Alan Ritchson. Now, Alan Ritchson plays this widowed father whose name is Ed. Ed in the movie has two little girls. One little girl is probably, I'm guessing, about maybe 7 years old or so. The other little girl is probably 3 or 4 years old. And that littlest girl, that little girl Michelle, she needs a liver transplant. So Ed Ritchson plays this father, single dad, whose name is Ed. And Hilary Swank, she plays Sharon Stevens, a ticked off hairdresser, if you caught that in the movie clip. And it's a good movie. And she's a total stranger to the movie, who comes in and kind of plays the role of an ordinary angel to the family. Now, throughout the entire movie, what you will notice is that Ed is a single dad. Single parenting has all kinds of challenges. Single parenting has all kinds of pressures. And some of you have been through single parenting, and you can say amen to that. Some of you right now are in single parenting, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of challenges when it comes to single parenting. And I think we can probably all agree this morning to this, though. I think we can probably all agree that parenting in general, whether you're a single parent or you have two parents in the home, parenting in general is a challenge, regardless of the number of parents you've got in the home. Comedian Jim Gaffigan, probably a lot of you have heard of Jim Gaffigan. Jim Gaffigan says this: sometimes I don't feel qualified to be a parent. I just don't feel qualified to be a parent. I'll call those times being awake. And that's probably true for a lot of us, right? How do you approach parenting? How do you approach parenting? How do your kids think you handle the pressures when it comes to parenting? The pressures and challenges when it comes to life in general. In this movie, and this showed one time in this clip that we showed you this morning, in this movie there are three tense times when Ed's daughter, Michelle, has to go to the hospital. She has to go to the hospital, and every single time the dad, Ed, he says to the daughter, "Do you want to go on an adventure? Do you want to go on an adventure?" And the little girl responds with all the trust she can muster in her little body, and she looks at her daddy lovingly, and she says, "Yeah, yeah." It takes a special parent, I think, to turn a health crisis into an adventure. And it's evident when you look at the movie, it's evident that Ed has this passion for his little girl, Michelle. He has this unconditional love, not only for his little girl, Michelle, but for the other daughter as well. Let me ask you this. Is your passion and unconditional love for your kids evident? Do they see your love? Do they see your passion for them? Now, some of you had awesome parents growing up. You learned yourself how to be a great dad, how to be a great mom, by watching them raise you. However, there are some here this morning who had to learn how to be a great dad. You had to learn how to be a great mom because your dad and mom, let's just be frank with one another, they weren't that great as parents. And to be honest with you, as a parent, as a grandparent, it's impossible to bat 1,000. It's impossible to bat 1,000 as a parent and as a grandparent. Now, the story from the Bible that we're going to be looking at today gives us a good example of parenting, But it also gives us some bad examples when it comes to parenting. And the story, as Jay talked about, the story comes from the book of 1 Samuel in your Bible. Now, open up your Bible to 1 Samuel. If you don't know where the 1 Samuel is in the Old Testament, don't think it anything bad that you have to look in the table of contents. Open up your Bible, look at the table of contents, find 1 Samuel, and turn to 1 Samuel. If you have an app on your phone or maybe your tablet, open your app up to the book of 1 Samuel. And here in 1 Samuel, it's about a priest whose name is Eli. Eli meets this lady whose name is Hannah, and she has a husband whose name is Elkanah. Now, Hannah is not able to have children. And because of the fact that she's not able to have children, she is really, really discouraged. And there are some of you in this room this morning who had difficulty in getting pregnant. Maybe some of you in this room who have not been able to have children at all. And you know what that pain's like. Early on in the story, you will find out that every single year, Hannah and her husband would travel to this town in Israel called Shiloh, and she would pour her heart out to God and just beg God to give her a baby. And that's exactly where I want to pick the story up. Let's pick it up, 1 Samuel chapter 1. Let's look at verse 11. This is talking about Hannah. And she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son. Then, she says, I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. That was her prayer. And when she prayed this prayer, the priest Eli heard her praying that. And as she and her husband left the meeting place of the Lord, as they left, these are the words that the priest Eli said to Hannah. He said, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. Shortly thereafter, guess who got pregnant? Hannah got pregnant. She got pregnant, and she gives birth to a little boy. They name the little boy Samuel. Then the story goes on in chapter 1, verses 27 and 28, where it says, I prayed for this child. And this is Hannah talking again. She says, I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. That's key. I give him to the Lord, for his whole life will be given over to the Lord. Understand this. Hannah just doesn't dedicate him to the Lord like we do here at Fairfield. She just doesn't dedicate him to the Lord. She actually hands him over to the Lord. She gives him to the Lord. Now, it's a blessing, a massive blessing to be able to have children of your own. It's a blessing to be able to adopt a child. We've been in both camps, okay? Adoption and having our own children. It's also a blessing. It's also a blessing to be able to pour yourself into the life of your niece or your nephew or maybe your grandchild. That's a blessing as well. And what I want to do today is this. I want us to focus on four different gifts that parents need to give children. Four different gifts that parents need to give their children. And here's gift number one, and that is consistent discipline. Consistent discipline. Now, kids hear that, especially teenagers hear that, and they go, wait a minute. That doesn't sound like a gift to me at all. Amen, he says. That doesn't sound like a gift. And why doesn't it sound like a gift? It doesn't sound like a gift because how many times do parents discipline out of anger? Been there, done that. How many times do parents discipline inconsistently with no rhyme or reason at all? Now, we learn in 1 Samuel here that the priest Eli had children. He had two sons, two boys, and these two boys' names are Hophni and Phinehas. Hophni and Phinehas. Aren't you glad those names didn't catch on? Yep, exactly. In fact, I have a tough enough time with the name Lynn rather than having the name Phineas or maybe Hophni. But anyway, I digress, okay? Here it is, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. Here it says, Eli's sons were scoundrels. Now, to be honest with you, I've read the Bible for years and years and years and years, and I have never seen the word scoundrels in the Bible. But that's what they were. They were scoundrels. They had no regard for the Lord at all. They grossly abused their authority. Hophni and Phinehas, they made certain that they received a much larger portion of the food sacrifices at the house of the Lord. They made certain that they had much more food than what they were supposed to have. And this all took place, plus more, in the house of the Lord. Now, the Bible says this in 1 Samuel 2. Look at verse 17 in your Bible. Verse 17 says, this sin of the young men was very great in the Lord's sight, for they were treating the Lord's offering with contempt. Now, if you read in between the lines, I really think that this is a pattern of disobedience that stemmed from their younger years, and it carried over into adulthood. And so here's a positive lesson for you to write down in your notes, a positive lesson to their negative behavior. If bad behavior isn't confronted in childhood, it will get worse and worse. Let me say that again. If bad behavior isn't confronted in childhood, it will get worse and worse. Let me put it this way. Let me put it this way. Realize that your little angel isn't a little angel. You know what I'm saying? Oh, he's just a little angel. Oh, she's just a little angel. Realize that your little angel really isn't a little angel. There is nothing that says, I believe in you more than appropriate discipline. Discipline is an outgrowth of your love for your children, your love for your grandchildren. Maybe, just maybe, that's why discipline and disciple come from the same root word. Parenthood is modeled on our relationship with God. Parenthood is modeled on our relationship with God. God has every single right, because He is our Creator and our Sustainer. God has every single right to call the shots in our lives. Every right to call the shots in our lives. And guess what? Parents have every single right to call the shots in their children's lives. Having said that, I have heard a fair amount of times through the years parents saying to me, Lynn, I hear what you're saying, but, I want my kids to like me. I want my kids to be my friends. You know, deep down inside, I want the very same thing from my kids. Here's a moment of transparency, okay? My personality type is that of a people pleaser. I want everyone to like me. But as parents, folks, as parents, throughout our kids' adolescence, they don't need you to be their friend. They need you to be their parent. They need you to be their parent. Years ago, there was a preacher who told this story of his little girl, little daughter, and she was probably 3 or 4 years old at the time. He tells the story of his little girl playing in the backyard. She gets done playing in the backyard, and with dirty shoes, she comes into the house, into the kitchen from the back, you know, through the back door. And she immediately, while Dad the preacher is standing there in the kitchen, immediately she grabs a chair from the table. She puts it up to the counter, and she climbs on the chair. She climbs on the countertop in the kitchen. And with dirty shoes, she starts walking on the counter, leaving dirt with every single step. She's roaring like a lion. How cute it is, right? Look at Daddy's little angel. And the dad says to the daughter, the dad says, "Does Mommy let you do that?" And the little girl says, without missing a beat, she goes, "No, Mommy doesn't let me do this, but you do." Mommy doesn't let me do this, but you do. Here's my point. If you tend to be lenient with your child, if you tend to be lenient with your children will consistently play you. If you tend to be lenient with your children will consistently play you. Your child could be 2, 3, 4, you name the age, 16, 17. Your children will gravitate towards the parent they can manipulate. Not only have I seen that with our children, I have seen that ad nauseum with other families as well. Our children gravitate towards the parent they can manipulate. And the biggest mistake that parents can make is failing to be consistent in their expectations of their children and the discipline of their children. In my opinion, never discipline your children in public. In my opinion, never discipline out of anger or frustration. What you do is this: you discipline out of love. Some parents give their children way too much rope, way too much freedom. And then when they realize that their kid is out of control, they pull on the rope, they pull on the reins. And they smother that child, they smother those children with rules and restrictions, and then they rebel. As parents, there needs to be this progressive releasing. In the early years with our kids, parents call the shots, period. In the early years, the kids are learning to respect the parents' authority. I mean, there's a lot of rules early on in the kids' lives, a lot of rules, and that's not a bad thing. That's a very good thing. In fact, at that stage in these little ones' lives, rules give security, create security. Boundaries create security. Because I love you. You can say, because I love you, there are consequences to your behavior. And then as they grow older, as they exemplify good judgment, as they show you they make good decisions, you give them more freedom and more freedom and more responsibility. Now, you may be wondering, where are you getting all this stuff from? Bible. If you look at Matthew chapter 25, there you see the parable of the bags of gold, the parable of the servants. Each servant's given so much gold, and they do different things with it. One guy just buries it in the ground. Another guy invests it. Another guy invests it. But with that story, at the end of the story, at the end of the parable, Jesus, or I should say the landowner comes back and he says, "You've been faithful in small things. Because you have been faithful in small things, I'm going to give you bigger things." And that's the concept that we're talking about here with kids and discipline and responsibility and freedom. Now here's a second gift that parents need to give their kids, and that is positive affirmation. Positive affirmation. We need to give our grandkids positive affirmation. Understand this, dads, moms, grandmas, and grandpas. Your words have power. In fact, many times I believe that a grandparent's words has even more power than the parent's words. The words that you say to your kids and your grandkids will stick in their minds long after they are said. And you know what? God gives us this example. God gives us this very example. He said this about His own Son, in Matthew 3:17. Check out Matthew 3:17. This is what God said in a very public place at Jesus' baptism with dozens, maybe even hundreds or thousands in attendance. This is what God said about His Son. "This is My Son whom I love." There's a lot of people hearing this. "This is My Son whom I love. With Him, I am well pleased. I'm happy with this kid." And here's the point. Give your children a steady diet of affirmation. Give your children a steady diet of affirmation. That way, your words of correction, your words of discipline can be heard against a balanced backdrop. Now, some of you know about the Christian author whose name is John Eldridge. John Eldridge said this, "You have what it takes. You have what it takes. You're worth fighting for." In other words, I believe in you. Catch your son, moms and dads. Catch your son doing something right and brag on him in front of other people. Brag on him in front of other people when you catch him doing something right. And if you have a daughter in your house, let her know. Let her know many times that she's beautiful and smart and talented and treasured. And here's something too. I've said this before. And I need to write a couple letters. Grandparents, write a letter to encourage your grandchildren. Have you ever done that? I've done this before, but not for a long time. Write a letter to encourage your grandchildren. Here's a third gift your kid needs, and that is wise direction. Your kid, number three, the third gift, needs wise direction. And sometimes those are words of challenge. Sometimes those are words of challenge. Other times, maybe you're helping them to navigate a challenge. Maybe you're helping them to navigate a tough teacher. Have you ever had a tough teacher, a tough professor? Yeah. Yeah, we've had tough teachers. How do you deal with that? Or how do you deal, here's a good one. How do you deal with a demanding friend? You ever had one of those? How do you deal with a demanding friend? Or a devastating disappointment? Or maybe you need to help your children, your grandchildren, with some teaching, giving them some pointers, helping to focus them in the right direction. Now, in our text today, Eli, again, reading between the lines, Eli didn't do a whole lot of this with his boys in their early years. Look at this somewhat surprising scripture in 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel, it says this. Can we bring that slide up? There we are. Now, Eli was very old. Now Eli, who was very old, heard about everything his sons were doing to all Israel and how they slept with the women who were served or who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting. And it doesn't stop there, it goes on. So he said to them, "Why do you do such things? I hear from all the people about these wicked deeds of yours." Did you know that was in the Bible? Kind of surprising, right? I mean, here we have his two boys, Hophni and Phinehas. They were his assistants in the house of the Lord. And they were meeting these ladies at church, if you will, and hooking up with them and sleeping with them. Hard to believe, right? But it's in the Bible. It's in black and white. It happened. These two sons are hooking up with gals at church and sleeping with them. And then the Bible goes on to say in 2:25, check out 2:25, his sons, however, did not listen to their father's rebuke. Their dad told them what to do, what not to do, but they didn't listen. They knew better. And you know, I think that was probably a pattern from their early years all the way up into adulthood. That was probably Eli's pattern as well. He was there with them. Oh yeah, he was there with them. But at the same time, Eli wasn't there. Eli's ministry, Eli's job, if you will, had captured more of his attention than his two sons. Eli's job captured more of his attention than his two sons. Observation, it's tough to raise kids. It's tough to share words of discipline, affirmation, direction, if you're not home. Or maybe you're home, but you're not home. Preacher Greg Rochelle, maybe some of you have heard of Greg Rochelle, minister down in Oklahoma. He said this. He said, if you don't want your kids to turn out like everyone else's kids, then you need to raise them differently than everyone else. That's pretty good, isn't it? If you don't want your kids to turn out like everyone else's kids, then you need to raise them differently than everyone else. Parenting, like I've said, it's tough. It's not easy. Mark Twain, anybody ever read any Mark Twain? Some of you have. Yeah, I've read a little bit of Mark Twain years and years ago. Mark Twain supposedly said this. He said, when your child turns 13, stick him in a barrel, place a lid on top, and feed him through the knot hole. Okay? Then he goes on to say, when he turns 16, seal up that knot hole. Parenting's not easy. And sometimes parents, dads and moms, get lost in their own world. They are oblivious to everything going on around them. Now, in the movie that we're going to see tonight, when Sharon notices Ed and his daughters, when she's taking those pictures, she just kind of notices that they need to loosen up. They need to help their dad have some fun. And so that's the clip that we're going to show right now that I want you to watch. Let's watch that clip right now, shall we?
Girls, you got a camera? Smile. Smile. Ed, no one's going to hire a guy who can't manage a smile. Girls, help your daddy out. That's better.
Come on, I gotta take this picture.
You know, being a parent is not an easy job. Being a single parent is even a more difficult job. And in this clip, we see that his kids were able to kind of bring a little bit of levity to his life. And let me say this, it is tough on the male ego, and you'll find out in the movie tonight, it's tough on the male ego for someone to parachute into your life and help you out. It's tough on the male ego, especially when someone parachutes in and has to help them out financially. The guy, when someone from the outside parachutes in to help them financially, the guy is already feeling like a failure. The guy is already feeling inadequate. I mean, it's the man's responsibility to provide for his family. And when you raise kids, you need to be intentional and you need to influence them positively. Dads and moms, grandmas and grandpas. Now, look at David's words. David's words in Psalm 127, verses 4 and 5. 127, verses 4 and 5. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Blessed is the man who has a lot of kids. Now, King David is comparing kids to arrows, and for an arrow to be effective, it has to be straight. It has to be sharp. It has to be aimed the right direction. It has to be aimed properly. And then the arrow has to be released. Released. The goal of parenting is to raise your kids to love and know the Lord and then to release them. The goal of parenting is to raise your kids to know and love the Lord and then you release them. The arrow never fulfills its purpose. The child never fulfills their purpose unless you let them go. And the arrow flies straighter. The child flies straighter when they know that you believe in them. You believe in them. And that leads me to the final area. And the final area is spiritual guidance. The final area is spiritual guidance. Now, Hophni and Phinehas, they weren't listening to their dad. Eli is their dad, the priest. Hophni and Phinehas weren't listening to them. However, as Jay talked about, there was another kid in the mix, a younger kid than Hophni and Phinehas. And this kid's name was Samuel. In fact, Samuel was actually growing up in the house of the Lord. He was listening. He was learning from Eli the priest. And the Bible says that he was also growing in favor with the Lord. He was living his life in such a way that God was going, "Yeah, go. I love that." He was growing in favor with the Lord. And so according to 1 Samuel chapter 3, Samuel has been living there already for a number of months. If you read through the commentaries, commentators will tell you that at this juncture of the story, they think he's probably a teenager. Probably a teenager. Samuel, at this part of the story, is falling asleep at night. He hears this voice of someone calling him. He gets up. He goes to Eli's bedroom. "Hey, listen, what do you want?" Eli's going, "I didn't say anything. Not me." He goes back to his bed. It happens again. "Not me." He goes back to bed. It happens again. And then suddenly the light bulb comes on in Eli's head. And Eli says, "You know what? God's trying to talk to you." Look and see what Eli has to say to Samuel in 1 Samuel 3:9. This is what it says. "Go and lie down, Samuel. Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" And the Bible says that he went back to bed, and then the Lord stood there. "Hey, Samuel. Hey, Samuel." And Samuel says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is now listening." And then it goes on to say this in verse 11. This is God talking. This is God talking. "Listen carefully," God says. "I'm getting ready to do something in Israel that's going to shake everyone up. I'm getting ready to do something in Israel that's going to shake everyone up and get their attention." And so God then fills Samuel in on what's going to be happening. And not only that, but God later goes on and tells Samuel how to be a godly leader. How to be a godly leader. And here's my point. Listen up, parents, grandparents, listen up. Teach your kids to listen for God's voice. Teach your kids. Teach your grandkids to listen for God's voice. Have you done that? Here's something else. Pray for your kids. Pray. How many of you pray for your kids? Pray for your kids. Don't stop. I wake up in the middle of the night. I start praying for my kids. I start praying for my wife. I pray. Hannah's parenting story in 1 Samuel starts with her praying to get pregnant. God, would you please? God, would you please hear your servant? God, would you please bless me? That's where her parenting story began. And she continued to pray for Samuel as he grew up. You see, prayer is the most important weapon that you have at your disposal. Do you pray for your kids? If you do not pray for your kids, you need to start today. If you don't pray for your kids, you need to start praying for them today. And here's something else. Do you pray with your kids? Do you pray with your kids? I can remember kneeling at my kids' bedside when they were praying over them in the crib. Do you pray with your kids? With them? I hope so. Do you allow your kids to hear you praying for them? I'm not talking about putting on a show, okay? But do you allow your kids hear you praying for them? Hear you praying for God to use them? Oh, dear God, would you please use little Janie this week at school? She's got a tough teacher. And God, they lock horns all the time. And God, would you please help little Janie cope with that? And maybe even plant a seed in that teacher's life. Our daughter Annie, it just dawned on me, our daughter Annie, while she never really had any problems in school with teachers, she had this one teacher, Mr. Wicker. What did he teach? Do you remember? Social studies, maybe? Mr. Wicker at Rockville High School, I believe he taught social studies. He actually became a member of our church, he and his family, and one of his daughters is now a Christian recording artist, JC. But at any rate, she just kept talking to Mr. Wicker about church. Mr. Wicker and his family eventually came to Rockville Christian. Mr. Wicker eventually became an elder in the church. Do you pray for your kids to make an impact in school on their teachers, on their classmates? God, would you please somehow use little Jimmy? Would you please somehow use little Jimmy as he grows up to be a young man to make an impact for you? Do you pray for your kids in that way? Do your kids hear you praying for them? Do you pray with your kids? If you don't, you need to start today. You need to start today. How will God use them in the future? Now, here's something in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 that I want you to see. Check out 3:1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. And that's really not surprising, right? The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under the priest, Eli. Samuel's in the right place. He's in God's house. He's worshiping. He's serving. He's learning. But here's something I don't want you to miss in verse 7. Check this out in verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Let's go back to that previous slide, Nicole. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Samuel. Let's go to the next one again. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. He was ministering, he was serving, he was learning, he was worshiping, he was singing, but yet he did not yet know the Lord. Some of you are sitting there and going, or saying to yourselves, to me, wait a minute, Lynn. Is that right? Is that a mistranslation? I mean, it doesn't sound right. Oh, it's exactly what it says. He was serving, he was worshiping, he was learning, but understand, he only knew about the Lord. He only knew about the Lord. Do you mean to tell me, Lynn, that my kids can be going to youth group, my kids can be going on Sunday morning, my kids can be going to Superstar, my kids can be going to missions trips, my kids can be doing this, that, and the other thing, and assisting here and doing that, my kids can do all that stuff in church and not know the Lord? Is that what you're saying? That's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. Religious activity does not automatically equate to spiritual intimacy. Religious activity does not automatically equate to one's salvation. And that's not only true for kids, but that's true for adults as well. It's true for all of us. Church activities are all well and good. Church activities are wonderful things, but they're not a substitute for the best thing. And the best thing is knowing Jesus as your leader and your forgiver. That's the best thing. Not to know just about the Lord, but to know the Lord. Knowing the Lord is a personal choice. Having a relationship with the Lord is a personal choice that your children need to make. Your children need to make a personal decision, a personal choice to actually know, not know about, but know the Lord. So moms and dads, are you pouring yourselves into your kids' spiritual lives? And here's something you may not realize. We've said this before, but the people who are primarily responsible for your kids knowing the Lord, the people who are primarily responsible for your kids to have a close relationship with Jesus Christ, the primary people are dads and moms. Well, what about the church? The church is here to help, assist, encourage, equip. The church is here to walk beside you in leading your children to have a relationship with the Lord. And so parents, even grandparents, are you pouring yourself into your kids' spiritual lives? You see, the Lord is saying to every single one of your kids, do you want to go on an adventure? Do you want to go on an adventure? Do you? And God's saying to you, do you want to go on an adventure? You see, moms and dads, in order for them to lead their kids into a close relationship with God, for moms and dads to do that, moms and dads themselves have to have a close relationship with God. Do you, mom? Do you, dad? Grandma, grandpa? Do you have that close relationship so that you can lead your children and your grandchildren in a relationship with the Lord? Let's bow our heads and pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for today. God, we've kind of kind of gotten down to some brass tacks here in parenting. And God, I stand here today as a dad who has messed up a number of times in my life when it comes to parenting. God, I pray that you'll take my efforts. God, I pray that you would take the efforts of folks here who may have messed up in their parenting as well. And God, I pray that you would make up for our inadequacy. And God, you're saying to every one of our kids, do you want to go on an adventure? And you're saying to us, do you want to go on an adventure? If there's somebody here, God, today that doesn't have a relationship with you, maybe they know all about you. Maybe they've known about you for years, but they don't have that close personal relationship. God, I pray they'll make that decision today and say, you know what? I need to take it to another level. And for some people, God, that next level is just stepping out and saying, I want Jesus Christ as my leader and forgiver. God bless us each as we make decisions to follow you more closely. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. If you have a decision to make today, we're going to sing a song.
We are.
And we'd love to talk to you. Let's all stand, shall we?